tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, live on your television screens alongside the King, Scott Angle. Of course, Wall Street Melodica. I am Greg Sussman. Little esports conversation made its way to the Roto Experts, I heard.
That it did. The name Piglet wasn't mentioned. I was a little disappointed.
Oh, my goodness. Scott can't go to a morning without talking about Counter-Strike.
No, you can't. I mean, you know, it's the way that the world seems to be going. I think about around 250 million people play worldwide right now. And, you know, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, if you go to sportsgrid.com, you can check out the top story about how a North American team won for the first time in history. It was just an incredible story. And plus, you had the Overwatch League begin last night, and you always want to listen to 1-2 Punch with Zareen T right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for all the latest updates. And sportsgrid.com is becoming a real hub for the latest in esports. We got great writers from all over the industry, and even some of our own, like Chris Ventra, contributing some esports content.
All right, there you go. Now, back to other sports besides esports. Super Bowl, baby! It's on Sunday, and Rob Gronkowski has officially been cleared. We all expected this. We thought after the final media availability, that's when they would clear him, so he didn't have to talk to everybody. Kind of how it happened. Gronk, good to go on Sunday. He'll be ready to rock down there, or up there, I should say, in Minnesota. Did not play in last year's Super Bowl. Wasn't really a problem, as it turned out. Gronk, good to go for Super Bowl 52. It's really the only game note we have.
He's uncoverable.
Yeah, it's really the only game note we have. Hey, some other random football stuff before we get into the Super Bowl and we come back. Deshaun Watson, already running. Pretty good.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, it's good to hear. You know, this team's certainly going to be a force to reckon with next season. You know, we saw the quick breakout from him last year. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, maybe does this team pick up even another receiver in free agency and try to get a little more luxurious from this offense. You know, will Deontay Foreman maybe bust through and threaten Lamar Miller? This team has a lot on offense. If they get healthy on defense, they could be a real contender in the AFC.
Absolutely. Speaking of the AFC, guys, we had our first random player talk about this offseason. It's like a rite of passage. Like, it's not even. It was February 1st, and we already heard Jakeem Grant's gonna be a thing. I'm like, are you doing this now? Can we at least wait until like May, where we're talking players up? Like, we had to do this in February 1st.
It's 365.
Yes, it is.
Well, look, Jarvis Landry, if he leaves, there's going to be some opportunities there. And he did make a few spectacular catches. But, you know, with Jakeem Grant, I'm already at the position of if Landry leaves, this guy's got to prove it. Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. You made
cliche.
A nice few spectacular catches there, you know, in some spots, you know, on Monday Night Football. But can you handle the bigger role? I don't know.
That is going to be the question. More football notes to come. Super Bowl 52! It's here! We'll talk more about it when we come back. Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you on Roto Experts. And remember, the Super Bowl squares are back at Fantasy Factor. They're giving away $2,500 in cash and prizes, and they're free to enter. So sign up today. Fantasy Factor is a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. The free to enter. Sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Couple of other notes here for you. Jordan Howard, Scotty, is pumped about Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I think he certainly should be. This offense has nowhere to go but up. You know, this is a team that I really believe that if Jarvis Landry to leave Miami, Chicago would be a nice landing spot for him, because Mitchell Trubisky certainly needs some more receivers. I'd be more pumped if I see things going on in free agency, because this team is really devoid of offensive compliments about him. And look, if the season started today, and it's not going to, I think this team might make some moves to improve in free agency. You know, it gives the teams less of a chance to stack the box against him if they have better pass catching options, Hopkins, Trubisky, who I think needs him. But I think this points to the franchise moving in the right direction, so I see where he's coming from.
Jordan Howard, who had 1,000-yard rushing again, was never like a sexy player to own by any means, Matt, but he was effective for a lot of the year. And as you kept saying throughout this season, he's never somebody you wanted. He's never somebody that you went out of your way to get, but he was reliable.
You know, I don't
I caught that.
Look at you! I defended him in the preseason. I didn't draft him, but he was going to be the guy that got the ball. And on this team, the main thing that hurt him, one is he really didn't catch any passes. And when he was given the opportunity to catch passes, he dropped some crucial ones this season for them. But he is the bell cow back for this team. And like Scott said, if they can get some offensive weapons around here, I mean, Cam Meredith coming back is a guy that will probably be under the radar for a lot of people, but
yep.
I think somebody that should be a person of interest.
And Corey was all over that last year, right? That Cam Meredith is going to be something.
You know, I did like him as well, but unfortunately, you know, he never had that opportunity. But he does need some pieces around him too. And this young quarterback definitely needs. You know, he needs some help there. You know, having a good running back, a good running game. Tariq Cohen needs to be utilized more and more effectively in his role, because he is a weapon as well. So the backfield for me is set. The receiving options need to be upgraded. You got to give this young quarterback a chance here, and that'll only help the running game as well. So getting a Nagy in here is an excellent fit for in my opinion.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen should actually be maybe the one that should be even more excited than Howard, because he was totally underutilized. This guy could become a Chris Thompson type, you know, with the right usage.
Potentially so, and hopefully Matt Nagy is better in that regard than John Fox ever.
Yeah, John Fox to me is like a NFC version of Jeff Fisher.
I agree with that.
Jeff Fisher did go to the Rams.
I'm with you.
But he spent most of it.
Totally agree with that. So Aaron Rodgers kind of annoyed, Scotty, that the Packers fired Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, Tony and I were talking about this on the news desk yesterday. Sometimes people don't realize the tight relationship from the outside that the quarterback coach will have with the quarterback, to say, oh, what does Aaron Rodgers need a quarterback coach for? I mean, even when you're Aaron Rodgers, you need something to bounce something off. And Van Pelt's been in this league for a long time, been very respected, former backup quarterback with the Buffalo Bills, who's really gone on to be a very good coach.
I find it surprising why they, you know, with the clout that Aaron Rodgers has, that he would be let go. If he's Rodgers' guy, he's Rodgers' boy, why would you upset that mix?
I don't know. You know, it just didn't work. Let me change that. Because you're trying to save your job. That's why. Because Mike McCarthy is going to be on the hot seat, especially this year if things don't go well. They fired everybody. They cleaned house, from the defensive staff to the offensive staff. They entirely cleaned house in May. Nobody was safe. It did not work this year, and he needs to save his job.
It didn't work, but the problem was Aaron Rodgers got hurt. You know, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt, the Packers are in the playoffs. I mean, so Aaron Rodgers is one of the few athletes that is in that upper echelon, that uber elite, that, you know, different rules apply. And for certain players, I don't care what you want to say, different rules apply. So for me, I wouldn't upset that apple cart, if you want to use that cliche.
Okay, cool. So everyone's, you guys are both in agreement with that. Fair enough. Your boy Paul Richardson wants $7 million a year. Does he get it?
I don't know if he gets it from the Seahawks.
He's not going to get it from the Seahawks. He's not going to get it from Seattle.
You know, the you look at the landscape out there for free agent wide receivers. There's not a ton. Jarvis Landry is going to be the prize. I think maybe Paul Richardson, you know, he finally stayed healthy and, you know, had a pretty good year. Pretty good number two receiver in a deep passing game. I don't know if he's going to get that kind of money, though, because I don't know if he's showed yet that he could be a premier type of receiver. He's a nice number two / number three for an NFL team. He might be shooting a little bit high.
But isn't $7 million, I mean, that he's a number two receiver, I assume, right?
Yeah, look, I get what you're saying. I think Seattle isn't going to commit to this.
They're not.
Need to commit to the offensive line. And if they really believe Chris Carson is their guy, if not, Scott mentioned it last year at the trade deadline, mentioned it again this week. I think Isaiah Crowell is a really nice fit for this team.
Yeah, I mean, they still do have Tyler Lockett. They really like Amari Darboux, who was a rookie last year. So if Richardson wants that kind of money, he might be gone and have to get it somewhere else. Look, you know, I say Buffalo Bills be daring, although they're not going to be doing it. I would be signing Kirk Cousins, Jarvis Landry, and Paul Richardson.
That's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening.
They don't have the money to do that.
If I was the Bears, I'd get Landry and Richardson.
Well, you just gave two teams, everybody. So how are you doing that?
I'm saying you give them a nice combination of two there.
I agree with Scott. For the Bears, Jarvis Landry really just, it's exactly what this young quarterback needs, a possession receiver, a guy that, you know, more catches than anybody since he's entered the league, gets the job done. He scored, what, 8 touchdowns this year? I mean, the touchdown thing, to me, I wouldn't bank on that, but this is a guy who can catch the damn ball, as they like to say, and a young quarterback would highly benefit from this.
You know, good landing spot for Richardson. We talked about earlier this week when the Alex Smith news came out about how they wanted to get another downfield guy. Because you have Doxson as the big target, and you have Crowder as the slot guy, Richardson might make sense in a place like Washington.
Potentially so. We have Jameson Crowder. We have Jameson Crowder on the inside, Paul Richardson on the outside. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the deal with Paul Richardson. I agree. Probably not back in Seattle there. Question for you, Matt Modica. What do you think Cameron Brait ends up next year? Because he's a guy that also wants around $7 million or so. And there's not a place for him in Tampa Bay anymore, I don't think, for that kind of money. Because O.J. Howard's ready to ascend to the next step and be the starting tight end. But Cameron Brait has proven in the right system, with the right quarterback, given the right job, he could be a pretty darn good tight end in this league. Where is a good fit for Cameron Brait?
I mean, one of the places that would come to mind immediately is if San Francisco wants maybe a more higher profile tight end. But if not, I mean, I think Cameron Brait has shown, as far as the receiving aspect goes, he's a guy that can get it done. He's not a good blocker. That's not his game. So, you know, as like a move tight end, I think he would fit really well in that situation. We've seen what he can do.
We've absolutely seen what he can do with Jameis Winston, with Tampa. What can he do elsewhere is going to be the question, Scotty.
You know, a place I'd like to see him go, because this team really needs to revamp its passing game, I'd love to see him go to Dallas, because Jason Witten is like at the end of the line here, and this is a guy, you know, he's proven he can work with a young quarterback here and can catch the ball over the middle, can catch it in the end zone. I know they do need guys to pick up chunk plays, but I think Dallas would be one place that maybe is a nice fit. New Orleans is another place that maybe comes to mind.
New Orleans can be fun.
Because, you know, it didn't work out with the guys they had. I think Pittsburgh is a good landing spot. I really don't. I'm not crazy about the guys that they have necessarily either. I think Washington is less of something. It would be interesting to see, though, if Arizona is a team that goes after, say, Kirk Cousins. You know, maybe they put a Cameron Brait with a Kirk Cousins.
That could be good. I really like the idea of New Orleans. I don't know what Miami came to mind.
Jacksonville.
Too. Well, yeah, but you're
Jacksonville could use him.
Yeah.
They could use a receiving
Mercedes
tight end.
Lewis
is a blocker.
I like Mercedes Lewis.
He was awesome in college. I mean, sure, you at UCLA, he was a hell of a player.
He could even be that second tight end in New England.
Potentially so.
Or, let's say Kirk Cousins you know, Denver makes the play for him, Denver could sign Cameron.
Yeah, I like the Denver. I even like the Washington, because I don't think Jordan Reed's coming back.
No, I agree. I agree. Nor should he, by the way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so when we come back, Super Bowl week has these like ridiculous press conferences, right? Like you have media night or opening night, whatever they're calling it, on Monday night. And then during the week, you have Goodell's press conference, which usually tells you nothing. And you had DeMaurice Smith's press conference, which didn't tell you nothing. We'll talk about what it told us when we come back on Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Experts. And I was just realizing, Matt, during the break, said, oh, so what are you doing for Super Bowl? My dad's coming over, we always watch it together. It's like a thing where we always watch Super Bowl with my dad. And last year, I thought I told you guys a story, and I thought I told the audience a story, but listen, it's been quite a long time, so I understand.
It's been a year.
Yeah, it's been a year. So it was a huge thing. Where are we going to go? Because I live in Manhattan. My sister lived in Hoboken, and my dad lives in, like, South Jersey.
Right.
And not South Jersey, but on the shore in Jersey. So the easiest thing to do, everyone agreed to mom because he was seeing a woman that was, like, kind of in North Jersey, was to go to my sister's in Hoboken and watch. Everyone would meet in Hoboken, no big deal. So we talk this out. This is what we're going to do. My sister's like, just so you know, there's, like, a monster glare on my TV. And my dad's like, all right, well, that's not happening. And
I like how he drew the line.
I was like, Ashley, like, how big is this glare? And she's like, it's bad. So, like, she sent us a picture of herself watching TV with this glare. And it was, like, bad. And my dad was like, immediately, no. So I was like, well, you guys are more than welcome to come here, obviously. You can come to my apartment. But it was annoying for my dad, who, you know, lives a couple hours away driving. And the train is a big pain in the ass, and he's, you know, my father. So he's like, all right, Dad, like, I will go there. I will go to you, which is where, you know, Mike Cardano lives, the same train station down there in Central Jersey. And then, like, another 10, 15 minutes.
Which was like about an hour ride. Yeah.
You know, a little bit longer, like an hour and 20-minute train ride, plus another 10 minutes. Like, you're looking at, like, an hour and a half, hour 40 commute.
Mattawan.
So, I might be in Middletown, actually, for the Super Bowl this year.
Yes. So we get there. The problem was, the easiest way to get there from my old apartment, you just take a boat. The boat goes right there. The problem was, I could take a boat there, but coming home, the last boat that leaves Jersey leaves at 7:30. The game starts at 6:30, so I can't take a boat home. I have to take a train home. There's no other way of me getting home, and I have to be on the radio the next day at 6 a.m. So I have to be home. I can't, like, come the night, like, leave the next morning because I'm going to be leaving way too early. So I got to come home that night. Problem is, in order to get home at a reasonable hour, there is one train an hour. It's Sunday night. 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, basically. So in order for me to get home, like, midnight-ish, I had to make that 10:30 train. Otherwise, I'm getting home at 1. I got to take, you know, I got to be here at 6, so I'm getting up at, you know, whatever. So I had, no matter what, I had to take the 10:30 train. Well, the Falcons go up 28-3. All is well and fantastic. And then all of a sudden, here come the Patriots. And I'm just looking at my watch, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm just like, oh my God. As the Patriots are going to tie the game, I get in the car to leave. I have to make this train. And I was so steamed. I'm watching it on, like, Verizon Mobile on my girlfriend's phone. I'm sitting there in the car watching it. We get on the train. As they go in overtime, I'm just sitting there like this. Steam pouring out of my ears. This is my job, my life, my career. I'm watching it on a train from Middletown, New Jersey, on the way back to be here, you know, the next day. So we made the agreement earlier that week. I go, if I am coming to Highlands, New Jersey to watch us this year. You are coming to my apartment next year. This Sunday, he'll be about my apartment. Of course, being Pops, like, he's going to get a hotel and stay in the city. And he's not going to miss anything. But he'll be watching.
Two things about that. Number one, thank God for technology, though.
Yeah, you
couldn't even watch the game on the train. Second off, did you consider, what was the earliest train the following morning? Like, staying over and coming in the morning?
Sure. So, the train I would have had to take, well, I took like a 4:30 train that would not have gotten me here on time.
Right.
So I had to take the one before that, which was probably 3:30, 3:45.
Right.
And I just thought that's ridiculous. First, like, of my options, I thought
You would have caught the game, right?
I would have caught the game.
And then you would have got about four and a half hours sleep, right?
You're adding. I got to make a 3:45. I got to make a 3:45 train. I'm not going to bed until midnight.
What time did the game end?
The game ended probably 11:30-ish because it went to overtime.
11:30-ish.
It ended about 11.
Mm-hmm. So say you go to bed to 11, about 11:30.
I got to be up at 3.
You got to be up at 3. You get three and a half hours sleep and
right.
You get in here.
Right. Well, I chose not to do that. Yeah. I chose the other way.
Says the man who goes to bed at like 9 o'clock.
No, when I have to do things like that, I find creative ways.
Oh, I found that was it. Yeah. I watched Verizon Mobile. Thank God.
Thank God for technology. Like I said,
there you go. Hey, what do you?
I don't go to bed at 9 o'clock anymore.
What are you doing? What are you doing for the Super Bowl, Scott?
I'm staying home and watching it. It's like Tony asked me all the time. I said I'm not going to a Super Bowl party unless it's like people are really focused on the game. I don't get into all the hoopla. I just want to watch football.
What if Ace Frehley was throwing a Super Bowl party? Would you go?
Of course.
Do you have anybody over?
What's that?
Any your friends come over?
No. Just like I just pretty much watch it at home by myself.
Does your wife watch with you?
Doing that. No, my wife does not like football whatsoever.
She won't even watch the Super Bowl?
No.
Wow. What does she watch instead?
Probably anything else. even reruns of like The Middle or something like that.
Right.
Like, you know, my son, Sean, he's kind of like a fair weather football fan.
Right,
like
Super Bowl, though.
You know, it is the Super Bowl, so he'll probably watch. Like Sean usually watches a game with me, but if my team or his team is in it, he's definitely watching it. Like
right.
When the Packers played in 2010, he sat and watched the whole thing.
Sure.
You know, but you know, he'll sit and watch it, or he'll be doing something else and he'll have it on,
right?
You know, in his room, and I'll be watching the living room. But to me, it's the Lombardi Trophy on the line. It's the biggest game of the year. I really don't want the distractions.
Yeah. All right. Matt Modica, what are you doing?
I was probably going to stay home, but now that I'm taking the holiday, I'll probably be I might be in Middletown, as a matter of
Middletown? Fact. Middletown? Where are you in Middletown? You go to Mike Cardano's house?
No. Mr. Cardano did not invite me, but I do have a friend that lives there.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to tying one on, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be
the only two other guys that used to consistently watch the Super Bowl will both live in Florida. So
that's not going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. What is the food of choice here? What are we doing that with? Food of choice.
I got a good Italian hero. Like,
oh, yeah. We're getting that for Sunday.
Salami and provolone with lettuce, mustard, and tomato and semolina bread.
You forgot the gabagol, the mortadella.
I'm a stardi.
Yeah, no, I'm with Scott.
I the gabadista and the scabros.
I love the heroes for, like, if you're having a Super Bowl party, that's a must. Maybe, you know, you have a little American hero and a bigger Italian hero.
Yeah.
Wings, of course. You know, yeah. I mean, that's like the day for wings.
Yeah, we're going with the Italian hero for sure. I think that's the way to go, Scott. I totally agree. Yeah. No, we're going to Fico's downtown.
Oh. Pop comes to town, you know.
A
little more up.
I'm taking somebody to go get myself a damn Italian sub instead of just going across the street. That's what we're doing for him. I'm doing that. I'll make some buffalo chicken dip. And
so it'd be you, your dad, and your sister?
My sister has to go watch it with my mom. My sister got out of this BS way. It was supposed to be. We made sure she was coming, and then she got out of this because she's moving this weekend. So,
you know, so you and your dad.
So my dad, his girlfriend, my girlfriend, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're watching.
I hope you use a ruckus in the neighborhood.
Oh, I'm going to just blast the crap out
I'd
of
have
this.
Like an air horn.
I'm going to just let out F-bomb after F-bomb. I can't wait. Oh, you know what I ordered last night for dinner? Well, Pure Thai Cookout.
Oh, Pure is so good. Mm. It really is.
It was great. So Judy comes home. She wasn't home last night. And I ordered this food. She's like, did you eat the whole thing? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you never do. You usually have lunch the next day. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I was hungry and I ate it.
I don't know how you're saving it for lunch the next day, but you know.
I don't know. It was always too big. Last night it was not too big.
Have you got the chicken curry puffs?
No. Chicken curry puffs. I usually get the spicy curry rice noodles and no rice and chicken. That's what I get.
That's an appetizer. I highly recommend. That dip is amazing.
Curry puffs.
Chicken curry puffs. Oh. It's got like this clear. It's like clear dip with some little cucumbers, some hot pepper.
That sounds good.
That's literally what my meal is.
Chicken, so now it's just chicken puff. Curry puffs. That sounds good.
Because I get the chicken and rice, the chicken curry rice. That's what I get. Oh, puffs. That must be.
The rice sounds really good.
Scott, you'd love it. It's really up your alley.
I gotta go with you to this place sometime. What's it called?
It's called Pure Thai Cookhouse.
Where is it?
51st
and 9th.
I have to check that out. I like my Thai food, you know, especially with like my beef with garlic sauce.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. It really hit the spot last night too.
Chicken curry rice. That sounds damn good.
This is all Scott's gonna think about now. The rest of the day.
All day now.
Might have to order some Thai food tonight, Scott.
Yeah, that's good, man. It's good. I haven't found a good Thai place in Queens though. I really like though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There.
We did Uber Eats with like supposedly this gyro place that was spectacular last night.
It was not so spectacular.
No.
Oh, sorry. It sucks. It's the worst.
These good reviews.
We have all these expectations. That's brutal. Was it Gyro Grill, says Mike Floria?
No.
What is the Uber Eats?
Gyro World.
What is Uber Eats?
Are you supposed to tip on Uber? I tip. So I'm like,
Well, I assume Uber Eats itself is like seamless where you're supposed to tip, right?
Yeah.
You got to tip Uber Eats.
It's like driving the Uber, I think. Depends on the level of service and the food. You know, it's...
Well, the driver's not the driver's fault if the food's good or bad, obviously.
I just can't. I
had one time with a driver, actually, like, I got Uber Eats from McDonald's, and he forgot my Diet Coke.
Oh, you don't forget the King's Diet Coke.
How dare you.
People must know.
How dare you.
Yes.
Unbelievable. You know what was great about last night? So I ordered it. It said it was going to take an hour. It came 13 minutes later.
I know. Sometimes it comes really fast.
Literally. I was like, oh, man. This sucks. I'm hungry. And then 13 minutes later, it's at my door.
That's good.
I was impressed, man. I was really impressed.
My wife is always like, I know you're going to be hungry at this time, so we're going to order it this time.
Smart woman. Smart woman gets it. That's why she's married to you. There you go.
That wasn't so smart.
Call her the queen?
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what Damari Smith had to say yesterday and what this means going forward for the NFL. Is a strike coming? Damari Smith says they're going to war. We'll break that down. Super Bowl week continues next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
YouTube. Welcome inside Studio 34. Skink, Scott Angle. That is Wall Street Matt Modica. Gentlemen, these press conferences, it's all fluff. There's never any information that comes out of them, right? Like, it's all posturing, it's all nonsense, it's all BS. We watch it for some reason and we get nowhere. I understand that. But Damari Smith said what I think a lot of us have been thinking. And that is, when 2021 rolls around, and the collective bargaining agreement is completed, which was a 10-year deal from 2011 to 2021, where the NFLPA got their asses kicked, he basically said, we are going to war. That means, certainly with the discipline, with the health factors, and no doubt with money as well. I'll say this. It's a lot on him. I mean, I understand the players needed money, and he had very little choice. But it was he that negotiated this brutal deal that everybody hates. And because of that, he's out for revenge. And he's going to have to now do a lot in order to gain back the players' trust, in order to get them back a better deal. Matt, I'm going to start with you. Do you believe we'll see a strike in 2021?
I believe we will not see a strike
okay, really?
In 2021.
Okay.
It's 2018, number one, so we still have a ways to go to get there. There's too much money on the line. Something will get worked out. And if they go on strike, we've seen in the past, the players are the ones that usually lose out. They'll put, if need be, scrubs, replacements, whatever you want to call them, and people will turn in, will tune in. And, you know, it's the guy that negotiated the deal, it's got to fall on him. It's like when you negotiate a contract and then you say, well, that person's getting paid more than me. You know, you or your agent, that's at fault.
Fair enough. And that's fair. Scott, so much of the inability for the players to band together and to be able to strike has been they need the money, quite frankly, right? Like, this is why they crossed the picket line in the 80s. They needed the money. They're telling people now, they're telling players now, you need to save your money because we are going to strike because we want to take the discipline back. We are not doing this stupid 18-game schedule. We need to talk about Thursday night football. They have all these things they want to draw the line in the sand on, so they're telling you to save your money now. Will that be enough to allow them to strike potentially into the season?
I think there is a possibility of a strike. You know, the biggest snag there seems to be the player discipline, because the Ezekiel Elliott thing was just a complete mess. We didn't know where it was going, or, you know, why it was going in the direction it was going as compared to other sorts of infractions. So they need to get that straightened out. Can they do it now between 3 years? I'm not sure. The Thursday night thing is a big thing because players are getting injured too often. We're seeing too many significant injuries on Thursday night. I don't think there's going to be an 18-game schedule. I think both sides will probably agree on that, because right now it's the status quo to have the 16th. But with the player discipline Thursday night football, they have to come to some sort of common ground. 3 years is a good amount of time to try to come to some common ground on that. So I think it's hard to predict. And if I had to say right now, I would say, yes, there will be a strike. There probably won't be an effect play, though.
Here's the thing. 3 years is a lot of time. You're totally right about that.
Yeah.
But DeMaurice Smith has zero plans to give in anything in the next 3 years.
He's talking tough. Look,
of course, as he should.
Yeah, and it's just all, to me, it's just posturing. All posturing right now. The league will make certain concessions. There's too much money on the line here for the owners and the players. And as the climate has already changed in today's view of football, the owners, I'm sure, they're going to take a hard stance too. But they're going to give back a little. Players will give a little. I think the players will make substantial movements in their favor.
Okay.
But I just don't see a strike. I don't see it happening. I think the NFL has too much at risk. Fox just got. Just paid $3 billion for Thursday night football, which is, in my opinion, a substandard product.
$500 million a year for a Thursday night football, and it's a substandard product. Ratings are down. Thursday night football is killing the NFL. The game itself, it's brutal. It's brutal. And Fox was willing to pay $3 billion for it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that Thursday night football is going away so quickly.
Yeah, and when this amount of money is on the line, we're not talking, you know, a few dollars here. It's just so substantial, the billions and billions that
sure.
This league rakes in every single year. You know, even with this season and all the controversy that exists and some rating slippage and stuff, when you see Fox, who did sell, as you mentioned the other day, a big portion of their...
going live in sports, yeah.
Yeah, to Disney. This is something they definitely needed to do. So if it was an overpay, it was an overpay. But for their reasons, I do get it. And I think, ultimately, you're going to hear a lot of tough talk over the next couple of years. I think they reach agreement before it all comes to a head.
Okay, fair enough when it comes to that. The Super Bowl, like I said, always brings out these press conferences. Like, you had John DeFilippo give a press conference, Scotty, where, you know, he talked that he wants to coach one day. And something else that needs to go away is the stupidity when it comes to having a job. You're not allowed to say you have a job. Like, it's ridiculous to me. Like, all right, Matt Patricia's the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Why do we have to do this stupid charade?
I don't have an answer for
that, exactly.
Really. It's, you know, it's just the way things are.
That's stupid.
It's not going to change.
Why?
It's not going to change.
Why?
Probably. It's the way it's.
That is like the. I hate when fantasy players use that stupid logic. I think the NFL uses that logic. It's just the way things are. We can't change.
I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying I disagree with
you. Right.
And I was talking with Tony about this on the news desk. People say, like, they'll talk about the leagues, like you say.
Yeah.
They say, why are you still playing with that sort of rule? Well, we've been doing it this way forever.
Right.
That doesn't make it correct. But you know what, though? Some things are just not going to change. Don't lose sleep over it. Don't bitch about it. Move on. This is the way it is. It's not going to change. You can't fight everything.
Listen, it's extremely, extremely dumb that Matt Patricia can't be like, yeah, I'm the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
I do love Scott's outtake when he says you can't fight everything yet. Scott will argue with
you. There's some things I won't argue, though.
What?
What? I won't argue about that, for one. Yeah. You know, I don't have a list here, no, necessarily, but things I won't necessarily fight about.
It's few and far between, to be fair. Just kidding, Scott.
I haven't thought about anything this morning.
No, we've all been on the same page this morning.
Yeah, because Corey's not here.
John DeFilippo, as I said, gave the press conference, and he's going to interview with the Vikings, supposedly, after Super Bowl week. And there's also rumors he's going to stay in Philly. Do you think it's just like almost worked out to his disadvantage here, Matt, that Philly was still in the playoffs? I know DeFilippo.
Maybe short term, but I'm sure he's getting a nice raise. I would think
so as well.
I would think he's going to get, you know, that. And I'm more shocked Frank Reich didn't get more of a play this season. DeFilippo's young. Maybe next year's his year. So you see LaFleur. Maybe the Titans, I thought, would have been the move. But once LaFleur went there, that might have closed that window.
Right. DeFilippo has proven this year to certainly be one of these bright offensive minds. And like Pat Shurmur, it's like they've almost gotten out of this mud that was Cleveland. Like he said, DeFilippo said that he learned more in that 1 year of coaching than he's learned ever. And that 1 year was like 3 years. And Pat Shurmur's kind of said the same thing.
I mean, sometimes just in life, you know, even when you have bad experiences, if you can draw from that and what, you know, what went wrong. And the thing in life also is adversity makes you stronger. Everybody is a great guy, a great gal when life is going good. You know, it's easy to say, you know, be like that.
Sure.
It's when things don't go good that I think you learn the most.
I agree. And I think that was the deal with Shurmur and DeFilippo, who worked together, of course, in Cleveland. They all have a Philadelphia connection as well. Both these guys have landed back on their feet. And that's cool because, like, you know, we talk about retread coaches and the boys club where these guys get job after job after job. These are two guys that seemingly have done good jobs. They've earned this spot to be able to coach successfully and not in Cleveland.
I mean, it's Cleveland. Like, everybody kind of gets a little bit of a pass. I mean, look at Hugh Jackson. He's won one game in 2 years, and he's still the head coach in Cleveland.
Scott, what did you do to celebrate January 31st?
I went out and got a sandwich.
Well, it's Hugh Jackson Day, 131. 131.
I'm not a Browns fan. Why would I celebrate?
He went out and got a hero.
It was a joke, Scott. 131. That's a record.
What should have I done at 131?
Lost something.
Yeah, I probably should have lost at something. I probably would have won one time at something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Play like 32 games of Madden and win one of them.
No, but I would win probably 31 of them. So it'd be the reverse. There you go.
I want to see you like go play these esports dudes and get like crushed.
Well, I'm not on those level, but I'd crush you.
Would you beat?
I don't play video games.
Would you beat Chris Venture in Madden?
It'd be a damn good game, probably.
How much Madden do you say you play?
I probably play like 2-3 times a week.
Oh, that's not enough. Chris Venture plays every day.
He plays Madden every single day.
He plays video games every day.
I'm putting you as a 7.5-point underdog, if that's the case.
7.5-point underdog.
All right.
I'm
not going to pretend to be a. But, you know, Madden's not a big esport at all. Like, the esports community, like, looks at like Madden and Call of Duty players as like casual gamers.
True. True.
I just root for Piglet.
Tell you, my son could be an esports player if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to.
Maybe he should.
He's really good at some of those games. Come on, Scott.
There's money in there. There's money in there. Money talks.
Right, he wins money in NASCAR.
Not enough. He needs to win more. That's why you go to esports for it. It's a business. It's booming.
Not interested.
Take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the hour. Coming up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So, we'll get back to the Super Bowl in a second and do another baseball question for you both, gentlemen. Are the Brewers ever going to find a starter? Ever?
They'll get somebody. It's going to be interesting to me. It depends. I mean, if you put, say, a Josh Hader, Domingo Santana, and something else from your farm system, whatever it took, for, say, Chris Archer. I would be looking to do something.
Well, supposedly they went after Archer, right? And that like didn't happen.
Well, I don't know what they
offered. Yeah, no idea what they offered.
You know, and I don't care what the Tampa Bay GM told Archer. He gets traded this year at some point. And there's no rush to trade him. Like,
right.
The Marlins did all that rush job because they wanted the money off the books immediately. You know, they didn't have to worry about that. That was their first and most important directive once they secured this team. And, you know, MLB signed off. MLB knew what they were going to do, you know, once they got this team. So that was no surprise to anyone. I just think they need... Look, Darvish isn't coming there unless they're just going to grossly maybe overpay him compared to everybody else. Which I don't think is going to happen as well.
Agreed.
Arrieta, I don't like Arrieta there. I'm not the biggest Lance Lynn guy. I've never been. But he might financially fit for them. I'd go Lance Lynn over Alex Cobb.
I think they're definitely going to get somebody. You know, Matt and I were talking about it before. You know, maybe Darvish is kind of out of the range, so it would be Chris Archer for what they would give up. But I could see Jake Arrieta or Lance Lynn. Arrieta is like never going to be the Cy Young guy that he was a few years ago again, but still a frontline starter. Look, if you have, though, a Jimmy Nelson as your number one, then you got Lance Lynn as number two, then you got the other two guys, and then maybe Hader fits in that fifth slot, because I really don't like the Shastin signing. I think you have a very, very competitive starting five. You know, you got Anderson, who had a breakout year. You got Davies, who could be a very good number four starter. I think they have the makings of something good there, even if they were just to get Lance Lynn.
Yeah, that current back of the rotation with like a Chassin and a Gallardo potentially is just horrific. God. I mean,
for a team that's investing what they are in this outfield,
well, yeah,
they can't
do that. I don't get the Chassin signing now, too.
Right.
Especially, I mean, this obviously happened before the trade and the Lorenzo Cain acquisition. But I think now that they did the trade, they signed Lorenzo Cain, you got to say, okay, what do we got to do here to really put ourselves in this position? Because this window's ripe for them right now.
Yeah.
And what you said about Jimmy Nelson, I get it. I can't bank on him till at least the All-Star break, and I can't say he's going to be exactly what he was last season.
I don't know if they can go out and get two pitchers, though. I see them getting one and then waiting for Nelson to come back for that playoff push.
I get you, yeah. I'll wait for him. The thing with Archer that's so appealing is his contract. It's not,
of course.
They get to keep him. It's a small market team. I don't know what their pitching prospects are, say, in lower levels and all that.
I think they have, like, Brett Honeywell, who's close.
I'm talking about the Brewers to add to a package and stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, Santana, I'm not the biggest Domingo Santana guy, but he's relatively young. You have a hater and probably think something else as well. I would, at least I would think that. I would want at least some another starting pitcher, because Hader right now is a bullpen guy with the possibility of getting back into the rotation.
Yeah, this is a good coaching staff, too. And, you know, you hope that if Archer comes out, the one bugaboo about him is he doesn't have a consistent third pitch and he's going to more of a hitter's park. So, you know, I'd like to see what the coaching staff can do with that necessarily. I think it's a strong staff. You know, that's the sense that I get.
We're taking a break. When we come back on Roto Experts, football, the Super Bowl, how do the Eagles win? How do the Patriots win? We are going to break this thing down to the nitty-gritty. And we're going to do it next.